Good morning, everyone. Lovely to have your company on Talking Horses. On this week's show, more news from across the Tasman. We discussed the sale of the iconic Cambridge stud last week, and in recent days it was announced that former Godolphin Australia boss Henry Plumtree would take over as chief executive next year. It's a real coup for Cambridge and the New Zealand racing industry. Henry, who is one of the most respected and experienced bloodstock experts in the world, is our special guest on the program a little later. We also preview today's Hong Kong International Race meeting with Andrew Hawkins and discuss the much-publicised showdown concept with Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria President James O'Brien. But first, let's catch up with Simon Vivian from Inglis, with the December Thoroughbred sale wrapping up this week at Oaklands. This is Talking Horses on RSN Sport 927. Inglis have had a busy week with the December Thoroughbred sale out at Oaklands Junction. Simon Vivian was there amidst all the action, and he joins us on the program. Morning, Simon.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well. How did the sale end up?
Joe, we were delighted with the sale. Look, it wasn't a big sale in numbers, and December never is. We usually aim for around about the 130 to 150 in total offering, and we ended up with 118 in the main catalogue and the supplementary combined. So, but we went into it, and it was quite an extraordinary sale, to be really honest with you, Joe. We had four horses make $100,000 or more. The top price was $102,000 for a horse by the name of Big Blue from the Godolphin horses. Look, Godolphin supported the sale fantastically well, as they always do. And I thought the results of the sale were quite extraordinary. I think that it ended up doing just under $1.7 million. Short, sharp and shiny, all over in about 4.5 hours. But a very, very successful sale and great competition on so many of the lots that we offered.
Indeed. So Big Blue, the former European stayer, was the top price to a horse, selling for $102,000 to Ma Bloodstock, one of four horses to reach the six figures, as you've outlined, Simon. Other lots to realise $100,000 were the geldings Demonstrate and Foundation and the racemare Soiree.
Indeed, yes, Soiree. She was a beautiful filly. She's a Lonro filly. When she came into the ring, I'd seen her earlier in the day, but she's just got one of those typical Lonro heads. It's one of those real princess heads. She's a beautiful filly, and she obviously carries great dual purpose value. So it was great to see the girls and the boys mix it up at the top part of the sale.
So the overall clearance rate was healthy at 90%.
Yeah, always important with any of these sales, Joe. Clearance rates become such an essential part. A couple of the horses that we'd love to have seen get sold didn't. In fact, I think that when I left the office last night, I think we were just at 91%. Because obviously in a sale like this, every time you sell one, you're almost adding 1% to it. But we're continuing to work at the moment on other lots that are still being under private sale negotiation. And I would have to say that probably by the middle part of next week, you know, we're going to probably knock over another three or four horses. So we would be fairly confident of being able to get ourselves up to pretty close to a 95% clearance rate, which in a sale like this was terrific. And the horses were just so well presented to us. You know, the draft of horses, as I mentioned, of Godolphins. But you know, beyond them, we had a great batch of racing stock from Lindsay Park Racing and Contract Racing as well, plus mares from Swetnam and some yearlings from Woodside Park. So the across-the-board offering met with fabulous support from a really extensive buying bench that had, in fact, had travelled to Melbourne from right around the country.
So, Simon, that was the last Inglis sale for 2018 and caps off what's been a very successful year for the company.
Has been a great year, Joe. Both states of Victoria and New South Wales have both had fabulous years. Delighted with the response that we've had from our vendors. Great support from our purchasers. We've been very privileged to be able to offer such a vast range of horses, and look, it has been a great year for the company. We've worked very hard to try and achieve the results that we've done, but it's always great to be able to get to Christmas and be able to sit back and look back on 12 months of very successful trading and then look forward to what's going to be a very, very exciting 2018 for the company.
It sure is. The first auction for the new year is the Classic Yearling Sale, and that will be historic because it will be your first sale at the new Riverside Stables in Sydney from Feb 10 to 13.
Joe, it's going to be one of the most exciting things that's probably happened in the thoroughbred marketing aspect of this country for decades, I would suggest to you. I had the privilege of being out at Riverside Stables earlier last week, and we went around as a team and had a look at the development of both the hotel and the stabling and the hospitality that's going to be offered to all of our clients. It's Look, obviously, when you start with a blank canvas, we're in a position of being able to design a complex that is absolutely world-class, state of the art. And look, the boys in Sydney have done a fantastic job in the way that they've been able to bring this entire project together. It's been extraordinarily expensive, as you're probably aware, but it's been a real commitment from Inglis to the thoroughbred industry, not just of New South Wales, but also of the entire country. And I think that everybody's feeling very proud, very anxious as we go there. It was like looking at an ant nest when you look at the workers running around doing all sorts of different tasks, and goodness me, I don't know how they actually can coordinate getting wiring done and plumbing done and carpets laid and tiles laid and bathrooms put in. Oh, goodness me, it was a... But all of that said, it's going to come together. I think that the Sydney team are proposing to move out to Riverside before Christmas, and then obviously, as you said, looking forward to that sale in February, a classic where I think it's going to be bumper to bumper. Brand new hotel, 147 rooms, great new complex. It is going to be the eyes of the thoroughbred world will be on Inglis at that time, make no mistake.
And to make no mistake, a career in the building and construction industry for you, Simon, doesn't appear to be beckoning anytime soon.
Joe, I'm nowhere near organised enough. I don't know how they do it, honestly. It looked like the old theory of a dog's breakfast. You know, it was people and gear everywhere and wires all over the floor and all over the roof. But look, you've got to applaud these people. You know that at the end of the day, they pull it all together brilliantly. Right at the moment, you know, it's almost for us that are not involved in it, it looks totally confusing. But clearly, every person that's involved in the task has a job to do, and each one of them knows what their job is. And look, I applaud the site managers and everybody that's involved in the building of the property and the complex, because it's pretty amazing. But you're right, it ain't my forte. I can tell you, it's hard enough organising horse sales, and sometimes we even think that's complicated. But I can promise you that it looks like a walk in the park compared.
I'm the same, Simon. Don't worry. There's no chance that I'll be donning a high-vis vest anytime soon in a hard hat.
Oh, Joe, you look sensational in a hard hat, I'm sure.
Now, Classic is followed, of course, by the Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale at Oakland's, Simon, and 770 yearlings have been catalogued for this sale, which will take place from March 4 to 7.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Joe. It's a very, very exciting... Very exciting catalogue, a very exciting time for us, because this is the culmination of what is probably about 10 months of work. We get onto the farms straight after Premier each year, and that almost takes us through to a period where we're on the farms looking at all of the weaning links as much as we possibly can. And then all of a sudden, you know, we start to get entries coming in. We're going to get back out there, do further inspections. And the culmination of that 10 months of work comes out right at this time when a catalogue is completed and put together. We had just under 2,000 applications to get into Premier. By the time we sort of go through, do the inspections and do our final selections, knowing that we've got just under 800 boxes at Premier at the Oaklands complex, we always aim for around about 700 and sort of 780 numbers in the numbers. And that's what we've ended up with. We've ended up with 770 lots. But again, as Melbourne always does, Joe, smorgasbord of different size, different pedigrees, different types of horses, some two-year-old speed horses, some three-year-old and older horses that are going to get over a bit of ground, vendors from right around the country plus New Zealand. So it's a real potpourri of quality horses.
Interesting noise in the background there, Simon, dare I ask?
If I could catch her, I would. But it's a little miniature Dachshund who's having a lot of fun.
Oh, fantastic!
With me, that's little Lottie. So she's actually trying to say hello to your audience, Joe. She does it in her own way.
I can relate completely. I have a sausage dog myself.
Oh, have you? Okay. Well, you know exactly what I mean. It's the fact that I'm actually on the phone and ignoring her. This is part of her way of telling me that I'm out of order.
How old is she, Simon?
She's about 1.5, Joe.
Oh, right.
She was a March 2000, and I do apologise. I'll take that joy away from her. Actually, I've got it under control. We actually got it from North Queensland, from some thoroughbred breeders who are based in about 350 kilometres north of Brisbane. So that's where we tracked her down. But she's another little princess. She could be by Lonro. She's very pretty, very pretty.
Is she a black and tan?
No, she's a caramel colour. She's an American colour. So a caramel, and she's even got the caramel coloured nose, which is very uncommon. Most of them have got a black nose. So we're very, very proud of her. Very proud of her.
Anyway, yeah, they're awesome characters, aren't they?
They are. Thank
you. Oh, dear.
It's all, actually. That's the amazing part about them.
Yeah. And how are things progressing towards the Easter sales at this point in time?
Easter's going to be very strong again, Joe. Look, I think the catalogues, it's sort of been an interesting year as we've put the catalogues together, because there's been a significantly increased focus on classic from breeders right around the country, because so many people want to be involved in the classic sale because of the new complex and, of course, the outstanding success that classic has been enjoying over the last couple of years, most especially 2017. So classic had a big increase in numbers for horses to go there. Premier was fabulously well supported again, and I'm delighted with what we've put together. And then, of course, the pinnacle of the English sales, and also of the yearling sales in the Southern Hemisphere, is the Australian Easter yearling sale, which will take place at Riverside Stables in Sydney in April. And whilst that catalogue doesn't get completed and put to bed until the middle part of January, having spoken to Jonathan Darcy through the week about the quality of horses that are entered for the Easter sale, it is going to be another absolute belter. It's a very select sale. It's never a massively big sale. Again, it'll be around about that 450 lot type of category, but the best of the best will find their way to Riverside in April, and I have no doubt that it's going to be another outstanding sale.
Simon, great to catch up with you. All the best for Christmas and the new year. Are you going to have a little spell before the busy 2018 yearling sales season starts?
We do have a little break, Joe. We close down between the office closes between Christmas and New Year, so it's nice to be able to catch our breath. And like a lot of people, in our countdown towards Christmas, you look back and you reflect back on a successful 2017, but also very aware that from the 1st of January 2018, the intensity starts again, and the thoroughbred community starts to focus on yearling sales and big race dates. Obviously, we've got some outstanding racing that will take place in the country throughout the first quarter of the year next year. And all the yearling sales start, and we're back into it. So looking forward to it. Enjoyed 2017, looking forward to 2018.
Excellent, Simon, and thanks for all your input on Talking Horses throughout 2017.
Thank you for your time, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Simon Vivian from Inglis, discussing the December thoroughbred sale at Oaklands Junction this week and looking ahead to the yearling sales season that is only just around the corner. Racing Victoria, in association with Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria, has started the countdown to the Showdown, a landmark million-dollar race to be staged at Caulfield Racecourse in April 2019. Behind this, Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria and the President, James O'Brien, joins us on the program this morning. Hi, James.
Hi, Joe.
Exciting times. There's been loads of publicity about this fantastic concept this week.
It is exciting, Joe, the release or the announcement of the Showdown, which is a million-dollar race coming up in 2019 for two-year-olds, exclusive to Victorian sired progeny.
It is named after Showdown, of course, the racehorse who was Victoria's champion Australian stallion of the 1970s.
Yes, I think that's an excellent choice of name. It really honours and remembers a champion stallion who stood in Victoria. And he was terrific. He was the champion sire in Australia. His progeny not only won over the short distances, but also the long distances, and I think that reflects the Victorian landscape now, where we've got quality and diversity of our produce. And not only that, I think Showdown's just a terrific name, a fantastic name, so it really fits the race.
And interesting, the publicity involving the likes of trainers Troy Corstens and Henry Dwyer, who were seen sparring at the launch of the Showdown at the North Melbourne Gym during the week.
That's right. It was a lot of fun. I think it's just when you talk to people about the Showdown, they're all excited about it. And it's just, what you saw there in the gym, sparring gym and through the promotional advertisement, is replicated, or the excitement is replicated when you speak to everybody about the showdown. So it is a terrific initiative.
So the Million Dollar Showdown will become a permanent fixture on the Victorian racing calendar and will help pave the way for further expansion of the Vobis Size program, James, when the $500,000 three-year-old Vobis Size race commences in 2020.
That's right. So that'll be run over a mile, the three-year-old race, for $500,000. We haven't thought of a name for that race yet. We'll have to think of something. I don't know if we'll come up with something as good as Showdown, but... Yeah, certainly. I think that's it's terrific, the expansion of the Vobis program. And so when you're in the Vobis Size, you also get all the benefits of Super Vobis and Vobis Gold. So it's I think that's what everyone should aspire to do, I hope, is have a Vobis Size horse in their stable. I think that'd be a tremendous target that race.
Greg Carpenter summed it up perfectly during the week by suggesting that the Showdown is the evolution of forward thinking and planning by RV and TBV to reward owners and support breeders who've put the time and energy into investing in Victorian racing.
That's right. And the stallion farms are contributing to the funding of this race, or the two races, with Racing Victoria. And it's been a collaborative initiative with Racing, with Thoroughbreeders Victoria and Racing Victoria, but just tremendous that the stallion farm recognised the importance of owners and providing the funding for this race.
So the two races, in addition to the lucrative Vobis Gold Premier Race Series already on offer, will be by 2020 worth at least $4.45 million a season, and the whole Vobis program, inclusive of bonuses and prize money, will offer more than $20 million.
That's right. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? And very tempting. And if you're going to race in Victoria, I just think having that Vobis Size tag next to your name, it would be fantastic, and just help with the prize money and all the lucrative returns.
Nice way to end the year, hey?
Oh, terrific. It's just great to be able to announce it. And the reason we're announcing it now, because the race doesn't isn't until 2019, is because we have the sales coming up in the first part of half of the year, and there'll be horses on offer right from the Magic Millions in January right through to Premier. Premier will have a strong number of big Vobis Size horses present, and we wouldn't want anyone to miss out, so that everyone's aware that if you buy with a Vobis Size sticker on it, you can race in this race in 2019.
James, thanks for joining us on the program, as always, and congratulations on the launch of this fantastic concept.
Thank you very much, Jo.
James O'Brien, President of Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria, joining us on the show this morning.
Today marks Hong Kong's biggest race day of the year, with the big international meeting set to kick off this afternoon, Australian time. And the Hong Kong Jockey Club's form analyst, Andrew Hawkins, an Australian, joins us this morning on the program. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, great, Joe. It's going to be a great day today. Can't wait for what's going to be an exciting afternoon of racing.
Always such an exciting time in Hong Kong, isn't it? With so many international racing people and horses converging on this great city. How's the lead-up been this year?
Yeah, it's always an exciting build-up as people arrive, as horses arrive, and it all culminates this afternoon. It's been a great build-up. It's been fascinating seeing so many different training styles out in the morning, seeing so many different people from around the world. It's always very exciting to get them in the one space, and this year's been no different. So it's been an exciting build-up, but obviously it gets into gear this afternoon.
In your respected analytical view, Andrew, how does the international contingent line up this year compared with past?
Yeah, it's a good international contingent. I think it's got quite a bit of depth. Obviously, it's disappointing that there are no Australian horses due to quarantine issues. It's only the first time since Australian horses were first allowed to compete in 1989. It's only the second time that there have been no Australian horses. So that's disappointing. But plenty of horses carrying the Australia suffix of their base here in Hong Kong. But in terms of the internationals, it's definitely a good contingent. There's a lot coming from a number of different form lines from around the world, from Australia, from the United States, from Europe. So it's exciting to see them all come together, and to try and line up these international form lines is always a bit of the puzzle that needs to be done each year.
What are the horses that have attracted the most interest locally?
From an international perspective, Talismanic has been very interesting, the Breeders' Cup Turf winner. Boldy-faced horse, so he always catches the eye every morning. You see him go out, and it's hard to miss him. Obviously, Highland Reel coming back to Hong Kong for a third Bars attempt. It's his fourth time for Hong Kong, and it's going to be his final start. Obviously, travelled around the world and has won six Group 1s. It's been fascinating to watch his career develop from a horse who, as a three-year-old, obviously went down to Melbourne, ran in a Cox Plate, but to develop into a high-class stayer. We've got the likes of Max Dynamite, obviously interesting, seeing him coming out of the Melbourne Cup and only having had a handful of runs over the last 2 years, and especially for a dual-purpose handler in Willie Mullins. We've got a Breeders' Cup Turf sprint winner in Stormy Liberal. So there's been a lot that have caught the eye in the morning.
What's caught your eye the most?
There's been a few of them that have actually caught the eye. Again, as I said before, you have so many different training styles that it's hard to figure out which ones, who looks how they're supposed to, who looks normal by their standards. But the horse that's really caught my eye has been the Japanese three-year-old Koseki, who runs in the Vars. He's had a nice preparation through. He only debuted on this day last year at Hanshin in Japan, but he's come along really nice his last two starts. But he's looked very well in the morning. He's galloped out nicely. Actually, both Japanese runners in the Vars have both Koseki, and the other runner is Tosin Basil. He's looked well as well. So I'm very interested to see what he manages to do on this afternoon.
The Japanese are always very dominant at this meeting, aren't they?
They are. They've had a lot of success. Obviously, we saw Lord Kanaloa a few years back win two sprints. We've seen the likes of Morris, Asian Hikari in the last 2 years, the Pono Crown last year, won the Vars. They've always got to be respected. They haven't brought their largest team this year, but they've brought runners in every race, and it's going to be interesting to see how they perform this afternoon.
And what of the Hong Kong-trained contingent? Who's leading the way as far as the local stables go with numbers and quality?
Yeah, it's interesting this year because there isn't a lot of depth among the Hong Kong horses in both the Vars and the Cup. We've got Werther stepping out in the Cup, obviously a former Australian-trained horse, but we've got a couple of horses in the Cup. We've got three runners in the Vars, but there's nothing there of much quality. Eagle Way is a decent horse, but will struggle a little bit. But come back down to the mile and the sprint, and Hong Kong looks like they're going to dominate again, as they usually do. Trainer John Sides, our champion trainer here, has four runners in the Hong Kong sprint, including the likely favourite, Mr. Stunning. He's been very impressive this season and looks like he's going to be hard to beat. We've also got Lucky Bubbles as well, who runs for Francis Lloyd. Hugh Bowman will be aboard. He'll probably be second favourite. And between the two of them, they look very hard to beat in the sprint. When you get to the mile, we've got the horses that ran 1-2 last year in Beauty Only for Tony Cruz and also Helene Paragon for John Moore. They look the ones to beat, and it's going to be hard to see them being toppled. Hong Kong's got a very strong record in the mile, and you see it being the same again this year.
And it's been in the past, in the sprint and the mile, whilst we don't have any Australian trained horses contesting the meeting this year, there are a lot with the Australian prefix, as you say.
Yes, that's right. So there's a lot of horses coming out of Australia. Obviously, Mr. Stunning, Australian bred, Lucky Bubbles, Australian bred. We've got horses like the Wizard of Oz, who was bred down in Australia. So there are a lot of horses who have come through Australia, a lot of horses who debuted in Australia as well and arrived in Hong Kong race. The likes of Not Listen to Me, who was obviously quite exposed down in Australia. And also, when you get across to the mile as well, there are a few horses who began their career in Australia. And as we've seen in the past, there's been horses that have come through that have always seemed to dominate in those two races. So I'm expecting it to be something of the same this year. Horses like Beauty Generation in the mile, Sichuan Da, both of them bred in Australia and started their careers in Australia, and both of them look to have some sort of chance on their last runs.
And Andrew, there's been plenty of speculation as to how many winners Joe Moreira is going to ride at the meeting. What's your prediction for the Magic Man?
Yeah, the Magic Man's got a strong book of rides, as he always does. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes in the four big races. He's got a strong book. He's got Seasons Bloom in the mile, who will be among the fancies. He's got the Wizard of Oz, who's been a bit of an enigma in the sprint. Neo Realism, who won the QE2 Cup here, he rides in the Hong Kong Cup. And he's got another Japanese horse, Tosin Basil, in the Vase. It's going to be hard to see him winning more than one race. I don't actually have him on top for any of these races, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him ride one. He is a big race rider. He's very good at what he does. I do think that, however, he'll be riding a couple of winners on the undercard. He's got a couple of nice rides, including the horse that looks like being Hong Kong's next superstar, a horse called Nothing I Like More in race 3. So I'll be very interested to see what Joe does there. He's also on an expensive import, German 2000 Guineas runner-up in Lockheed. He rides him in race number 6. So Joe's got a strong book, but I think it'll be interesting to watch him outside of the international races as opposed to during the internationals.
He's got a very strong following here in Australia, Joe. Plenty of punters will be on him, I'm sure. And Zach Purton, our man that's doing so well there in the jockey ranks, what sort of lineup of rides has he got, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's got an okay lineup. Zach managed to obviously win the International Jockeys Championship, but caused a bit of an upset winning at Happy Valley on Wednesday night, and that was his first time winning that event in 6 goes. So he's obviously having a very good week. This time he rides the Japanese filly Once in a Moon in the sprint, who looks like she might be up against it a little bit. In the mile, he rides Beauty Only, who he won on last year. Beauty Only's drawn a bit wide, but he looks to be rounding into form, so here's the chance. In the Cup, he has his first ride on Time Warp, who looks to be a little bit outclassed, but he'll go forward and he'll make his own luck. And it's a similar sort of story with Gold Mount in the Hong Kong Vase. Again, he looks a little bit outclassed, but he'll actually go all the way back. He should be running on strongly late. So he has an interesting book of rides, but it's going to be tough for him to win a race, and I think he knows that himself.
And socially, I'm sure you've had a great week. It's always nice to catch up with lots of fellow visiting Australians, I'm sure.
Yeah, plenty of Australians in town. It's even without Australian runners this year, you still see a number of Australian journalists and Australian press and Australian racing fans converge on Hong Kong. It's a great end of year experience for Australians, especially given that it comes right after the end of the Spring Carnival, leading up to Christmas. It's the perfect time for a racing trip, and it's not too far from Australia. So plenty of Australians in town, and I'm sure that should there be an Australian victory of any sort, whether it be from trainers like John Moore or John Sires, or whether it be from jockeys like Hugh Bowman, Zach Purton, Tommy Berry, Sam Clipperton, even Chad Schofield, who's an adopted Australian, I'm sure there'll be plenty of parties in Hong Kong on Sunday night.
How's Tommy Berry been settling in there now? He's permanently riding in Hong Kong.
It's been a tough start for him, and he's John Moore's stable rider. So he's got the pick of the rides for John Moore, but John Moore's had a slower start by his standards. He hasn't quite had the firepower that he does some seasons. Quite a few of his horses have been on their marks. So it's been a tough start for Tommy. However, Tommy has two very good chances in today's international races. Obviously, Werther will be close to favourite, if not favourite, in the Hong Kong Cup, and Helene Paragon's one of the leading chances in the Hong Kong Mile. So he's got a good chance of making it a successful start. And to be fair with John, he's a big race trainer. It's big races that he's counted on. So I think as long as he's doing well in these races, I think that's all that you can. That's what you'd be hoping for with Tommy.
Yeah, he's a prize money winning trainer, John. He's focused always on the black type races in Hong Kong and abroad. And what about you yourself, Andrew? You've been based in Hong Kong, working there now for quite some time. Will we ever see you home?
I think at some point I'll definitely come home. I love Australia. I love getting back when I can. And Australian racing is always number one for me. But look, I love being here in Hong Kong. I've been in Hong Kong a number of years now in a couple of different roles. And Hong Kong racing is something quite extraordinary to be a part of. And to be based here is phenomenal. But Australia is always home, and I'd love to get home at some point. And I'm lucky enough that it's not too long a flight, so I can get home a couple of times a year. But I would love to be based back in Australia at some point.
We'd love to have you back at some point too, Andrew. You're doing a great job up there, though. Enjoy today and the rest of the week. And thanks for sharing all your insight and valuable knowledge with us on Talking Horses this morning.
Thanks, Joe.
big news last week with the announcement of the sale of the iconic Cambridge stud in New Zealand. Sir Patrick Hogan selling his famed farm to Brendan and Joe Lindsay. And this week they have announced the appointment of Henry Plumtree to head up the operation from April next year. And he's our special guest on Talking Horses this morning. Congratulations, Henry.
Thanks, Joe. Yes, it was a bit of a surprise to be asked, but, you know, I have to say that we're delighted, Michelle and I, that we're going to be going over there because it's a place I've spent a lot of time on in the last 30 years. And I have a massive amount of respect for Sir Patrick and Lady Justine, and we're very lucky.
And a deserved appointment too, Henry. You've headed up some of the biggest racing and breeding operations in the world, and you've had a nice spell since finishing up with Godolphin in the middle of this year. You must be really looking forward to this new chapter in a new country.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, it's we did nearly 10 years at Godolphin in the managing director's role, and it was an experience that I wouldn't have missed for the world. Working for someone like Sheikh Mohammed was an extraordinary experience for me, and you know, I've been very lucky to work with some pretty amazing people in racing. You know, that whole Godolphin, Dali, Dubai thing is, I don't think we'll see anything like it again in our lifetime. But it's, you know, 350 employees and 1,000 horses on the ground in Australia. It's quite a challenging role, which I think Vin Cox will probably find. But very much looking forward to a new chapter in New Zealand. And as I said, I've spent a lot of time in New Zealand in the last 30 years. So it's not as though we're going to a new country where we know no one. We know a lot of people there, particularly in that Cambridge, Matamata area. And we're really looking forward to it.
Yes, you take over the reins from one of the great figures of Australasian racing and breeding, Sir Patrick Hogan. An exciting challenge awaits, as I'm sure you plan to take Cambridge Stud to new and exciting levels. You're certainly inheriting some wonderful base there with the likes of Tavistock headlining their stallion ranks these days. He's been incredible, hasn't he, Sir Patrick, the stallions that he's been able to source over the years?
I think he has been pretty amazing. I mean, I think if you pick one and that's your lot, people would probably say generally that you're lucky. I think Patrick's, he seems to have made a habit of it. You know, Sir Tristram was the first cab off the rank at the really elite level. I think when he retired, he was a record-breaking Group 1 sire worldwide. And then Zabeel following him. And then Tavistock, who, for most of us, I think, if we were honest, has probably come completely out of the blue. I mean, I think most of us felt that Monju was probably a stallion that was actually turned out to be actually quite a good stallion. But he didn't hit the commercial high spots. And although he had classic winners in Australia and in New Zealand, the Tavistock story is an extraordinary story. But once again, you know, Patrick had that uncanny knack of picking a pedigree that was going to, you know, niche nicely with the mares in New Zealand, and he's picked it again with him.
So what will your role entail from April next year, Henry?
Well, my first obligation, obviously, is to Brendan and Joe Lindsay, who asked me to do this role as chief executive. So, and I've said this to Brendan and Joe, that my main aspiration is so that they get what they want out of Cambridge Stud first and foremost, and then we worry about the stallions and the branding after that. I mean, I think we could take over the model that Patrick's run there for 40 years very successfully, and we could fine-tune it a bit and tinker with it. Keep producing yearlings for the Karaka sales and hopefully have horses representing Cambridge on the race courses in New Zealand and Australia. But at an aspirational level, I think it's really important that people who are huge enthusiasts and people who are prepared to put large amounts of money into our industry, they must derive a certain personal satisfaction and pleasure out of what they're doing. And I think you know, I would be looking hard at the racing operation and trying to turn that into something which is really meaningful in both countries, so that they can be at the races at the right times of the year, promoting, you know, promoting the operation back at Cambridge, because that's the ultimate for me.
And Marcus Corbin has played a huge role as the manager at Cambridge for many years now, and I read this week that he will continue on in the role. So you've got some fantastic intel there to work alongside you.
Yeah, and it's important when you merge operations, or Lindsay Investments have got a sort of operational farm up at Karaka, and when you're merging an operation like them with Cambridge Stud, which has been a powerhouse breeding operation for the last 40 years, it is important to keep that intellectual property on board if you can. You know, the adage that you move into a new thing and you get the broom out and sweep it clean and start again is nonsense if it's a successful operation. You only do that if it's broken. And Cambridge is far from broken. It's a fantastic brand. It's been run by very good people. So, I mean, I've obviously known Marcus a long time. I've known him for 30 years, and we're delighted that he's staying on. And some of the team there, I mean, I hope as many of them who want to stay with us, because it's going to be a fun ride.
Mm. And it's wonderful for New Zealand racing to have people of your calibre and experience, Henry, join the racing and breeding ranks there.
Look, I'm sort of not a big one about talking about my calibre. I've been very lucky to work with some amazing people, and I've been very lucky to work with some amazing horses. And it's those people and those horses that make people like me look good. And sometimes I've been lucky to be in the right place at the right time, working for people like John Massara, Lady MacDonald Buchanan in England. They were sort of chance encounters that got me those roles. But ultimately, you're never a one-man band, Joe, in our industry. You know that. And particularly in the Godolphin years, I had some great people around me, and we worked with some great horses, and that makes everyone look good.
Teamwork is the essence of the success for any business, no matter how big or small it is in racing and breeding. How's Michelle feeling about the big step and the move to New Zealand? Is she looking forward to it also?
Fantastic. As always, I think she knows she's safe in the knowledge that we can't go any further south anyway. So I think she'd be fine. No, but she's obviously been a big part of my life and a big part of our business for the last 30 years. So she's fantastic and looking forward to it, I think. I mean, as I said, we've got a lot of friends out there, and, downtown Cambridge might be a bit quieter than Mossman in Sydney. It's going to be a fantastic ride for us. I mean, we're only an hour and a half from one of the most beautiful cities in the world, in Auckland, and with the America's Cup going back there in 4 years' time, it's a hell of an exciting time to be in New Zealand anyway. And I think their racing industry, Joe, is on the turn. They've got a government in there now which is going to be sympathetic to what the racing industry is trying to achieve. They're trying to get their race fields legislation through, which is going to put more prize money into their racing system. And I just see green shoots coming everywhere there, you know. And I think it'll be an exciting 10 years.
And, of course, Bernard Saundry, who headed up Racing Victoria for many years, is now based in New Zealand running the racing industry. So there's been a number of significant players from the Australian side of the Tasman going over and trying to make a difference.
Well, Bernard was a fantastic administrator when he was in Victoria. He did a very difficult job with a degree of dignity and endeavour, you know, which most people wouldn't have bothered. He had a very difficult role at RVL, and I'm delighted that he's got that role in New Zealand, because, you know, whilst most people would think that he's gone from one basket case to another, I think the New Zealand one is probably one that he can sort out, you know. He'll be down in Wellington, and obviously I'll be up in Cambridge, but he's already texted me, so our paths are going to cross fairly frequently, I would have thought.
I'm sure they will. And you're currently enjoying some time in Hong Kong. You go up there each year for the international race meeting. How have things been there? How's the lead up to this afternoon's big meeting?
Look, I think everything is great. I mean, it's obviously disappointing that Australia is not represented here this year, and I hope that the quarantine hiccup, which has caused their absence, will be sorted out sometime in the next 3 months. I mean, these quarantine issues between governments often take some time to be sorted out. But Hong Kong International Week, Joe, is a must-do, racing carnival for Australia. Our bloodstock is very front and centre up here. It's a very important market for both Australia and New Zealand. And we can't afford to let international weeks go by without our horses up here. So hopefully that'll be sorted out. But look, the atmosphere up here, as always this week, is fantastic. Every Tom, Dick and Harry from the bloodstock world is out there at the trainer's hut in the morning, and Hong Kong put on this amazing breakfast, which you would know all too well. So, and the weather's fantastic for once. The weather is absolutely glorious. So it'll be a great day on Sunday.
Henry, thank you for taking the time to chat with us on Talking Horses. Once again, congratulations on the role as Chief Executive of Cambridge starting in April next year. And it's great news for New Zealand and for Australian racing to see you take up the role. I'm sure you're going to take it to new and exciting levels.
Well, I hope so, Joe, and we're really looking forward to it. And we appreciate the opportunity to have a chat to you. And as always, my telephone's always there, so we hope to talk to you over the next few months.
Yeah, we'll certainly check in with you once you get your feet under the desk and see how it's all going.
Okay, Joe.
That's Henry Plumtree. He'll take over at Cambridge in April next year as their chief executive.
That's all we've got time for in this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to our special guests this week, Henry Plumtree, Simon Vivian, Andrew Hawkins, and James O'Brien. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.